Bambalara.
Playing in a pub, you all know well. I met a girl. If you
know, if you know, if you know. We're told that after the war, the Nazis vanished without a trace. But the Italians, the fascists, still dream of a master race. The history books, they tell of their defeat in 45. But they all came out of the woodwork on the day the Nazi died. They say the prisoner of Spandau was a symbol of defeat. But Hess remained in prison, then the fascists, they were beat. So the promise of an Aryan world would never materialize.
So why did they all come out of the woodwork
on the day the Nazi died? The world is riddled with maggots, the maggots are getting fat. They're making a tasty meal of all the bosses and bureaucrats. They're taking over the boardrooms and they're fat and full of pride. And they all came out of the woodwork on the day the Nazi died. So if you meet with these historians, I'll tell you what to say. Tell them that the Nazis never really went away. They're out there burning houses down and peddling racist lies. And we'll never rest again until every Nazi dies.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Syrup Moose Radio. I am your host, the Great and Sticky Moose, and you are listening to 93.9 FM CICK Smithers Community Radio. You might also be listening to this show on 90.3 FM CKUT in Montreal, 88.7 FM CFUR in Prince George, 88.3 FM CKXU in Lethbridge, or 102.7 FM CKMS in Waterloo. This show is recorded on the unceded territory of the Gitxsan people and broadcast originally from the territory of the Wet'suwet'en. It is heard across Canada on unceded territory, so take some time to learn about whose land you're living on. Syrup Moose Radio is sponsored by the Skeena Watershed Conservation Coalition. You can check out the incredible and vital work that they are doing by searching for them on Facebook. You can at any time reach out to Syrup Moose Radio by email at syrupmooserecords@gmail.com or by finding me on Blue Sky, xada.bluesky.social. That's xada.bluesky.social. For more from this show, visit smithersradio.com or themarsh.ca. Enjoy the show.
Yard over Brook and Bill and Tuff Street, cut the corner to the break in the trees, heading where the light sinks into the dark. To take the hidden path that leads to the creek and the embankment where they'd sunbathe asleep, you can see it where the light bleeds back and ahead. Approaching with your knees bent down, keeping close to the slope, crouched low under the cover of reeds, you'd sneak and reach your hand behind. Try to grab on the tail, hold it up in the air high, feeling it writhe, feeling it panic, trying to twist from your hand clenched tight in a fist. As if trying to swim, swiping its claws toward the ground, underneath it could reach to break free into the water below, where you knew you should never get close. How told since birth they leak poison throughout it all, the only history you really knew about, not how gypsum spilling out were gave a name to the creek, or how mining it dug tunnels beneath every street in the neighborhood. The ones you took to get to the woods, you knew their names, not where they came from or meant. What would happen if you fell down the slope? If you drown or would your body wash out? Would it carry all the way to Lake Michigan? And if you didn't, would the poison inside from the river kill you later in life? In the kitchen with your wife and your kids, eating dinner when your body gives in and again.
Watch the- looking back, are there any things that you wished that you could have gotten accomplished that maybe just didn't get done?
I knew I had done my best. I can live with it because I've lived in it all of my life. I was born in it. So I've learned how to live with it.
La Dispute there, starting things off with environmental catastrophe film. What's up, everybody? This is Syrup Moose Radio. You already know that. Come on. You already know. You're here on purpose. I'm here recording in my basement, as I always am. Tired as hell. Huge shout out to the folks who came out last night for the show with myself, Elysium, Download History, and Luna Flora at the Bulkley Valley Brewery. We had an absolute blast, and from what I saw, looks like people did too. Shout out to our bartender, who was truly tremendous, and I am so sorry that I don't either didn't get or don't remember your name. I'm very sorry, but you single-handedly kept that place under control, and I really am. I think that's awesome. If you want another opportunity to come and see me live, I will be in Prince Rupert on September 20th at Port City Spirits. I'm doing a live set and a DJ set. Come out. The last time I played out there, I don't know that anybody really knew that I was going to be there, but hopefully this time you do, and you can come out and absolutely lose your shit for me. I'll tell you, to the fella who ended up shirtless punch dancing to my stuff last night, massively flattering, and I'm glad you had a good time. I got lots of music, all kinds of cool stuff today. We're gonna do a little bit of a Labor Day segment later, even though Labor Day has now passed. Mostly gonna be music because I was up later last night than I've been in, like, I don't know, 5 years, so I'm pretty tired, and I think that's okay. We're going to listen to some new Bless the Fall, this one called Drag Me Under, featuring Alpha Wolf. And when we come back, maybe we'll talk about Labor Day. I think that sounds like a fun idea. Yeah. All right, folks, here we go. This is Bless the Fall, Alpha Wolf, Drag Me Under on Syrup Moose Radio. We'll be back. With My Primeval Obsession. Before that, you heard Bless the Fall, Drag Me Under. What's going on, everybody? You are currently listening to Syrup Moose Radio, and I hope you're having a good time doing it. All right, we're going to do something a little bit different. So folks may remember beginning of September was quote-unquote Labor Day, and I may surprise you all to know that actually it's not. And rather than me trying to get into it and explain, I'm going to play the audio video that I watch every year around Labor Day, both the real one and the fake one, to remind myself about what's going on. And I want to share it with you. This is from a YouTuber, a Canadian YouTuber, actually, called Thought Slime. And they are leftist commentator. They do some really tremendous work, and I think you will enjoy this. So this is their video. It's a five-year-old video, and I still watch it every year and share it every year pretty much. So now I'm going to share it with you. So let's get into it, and we'll be back in about 15. Thanks, folks. Enjoy. Thought Slimes. Labor Day. Or today is Labor Day.
Today is Labor Day. Now I hear you, dear viewer. Oh no, I've slipped into a deep slumber and slept until September. How could this happen? I have to see a doctor right now. I might have some sort of neurological condition. I didn't even notice. I thought today was the 1st of May. How is this even possible? I didn't eat any food or move for 4 months. How have my muscles not atrophied? And no, you're confused. Let me set your mind at ease. May 1st, May Day, is the real Labor Day, or International Workers' Day. The other Labor Day, the one celebrated in September, was popularized as propaganda designed to divorce Labor Day from its radical roots. To stop the labor movement from remembering its own history, the ways that it had been brutally suppressed by capital and the state. And I think it worked! It's just a long weekend, a nice little break from work. And we need that because our work is just so frustrating and alienating and has been ever since the labor movement declined in power. Weird coincidence. Who cares why we have 8-hour work days? You don't have time to care because you're too busy on a 12-hour work day trying to hold down two jobs or working in the gig economy where you're expected to hustle all day just to keep your head above water. The people that you're working for certainly don't want you to know about your intellectual forebears who fought and died to prepare a better world for you. They don't want you to know that we can fight back. They want to delegitimize the entire concept of fighting back by trying to erase any historical precedent for doing so. May Day started as a pagan holiday celebrating, I don't know, spring shit. It was probably really horny. From what little I've read about its ancient roots, it sounds like it was basically like a less murderous version of the movie Midsommar, complete with like dancing around a maypole and crowning a May Queen. A lot of countries still celebrate this way, and a lot of traditional May Day celebrations, blah blah blah, who cares, this isn't relevant. Fast forward to 1886. The Federation of Organized Trade and Labor set May 1st as the day when the United States would accept the 8-hour workday as standard. Pretty simple demand. You have 8 hours for sleep, 8 hours for leisure, 8 hours for work. Perfectly balanced, as all things should be. A major improvement from the previous standard of, I don't know, work until you can't anymore. Though personally, I think that 134 years later, the fact that we're still so content with this arrangement, that our bosses feel comfortable gradually starting to roll it back, should be a point of shame and anger for all people who work for a living. Anyway, it didn't happen, so a bunch of trade unions were like, hey, fuck this. Fuck all of this. Let's have a general strike. Fuck you. Upwards of about 500,000 US workers just, like, stopped. They didn't go to work, they didn't make money for their bosses, they actively shut down factories and industry. They were just like, nah, no work. Not until we get the things we want, and no one else is gonna come here and work neither. Take note of this, file that away in the back of your noodle, because it's gonna become relevant later on when we talk about the today portion of this video. Anywho, the biggest demonstrations for this general strike took place in Chicago. On May 3rd, there was a demonstration by the Lumber Shovers Union. 6,000 members were in attendance. Also present were about 500 striking workers from the McCormick Harvesting Machine Company. They'd been locked out of their workplace and violently harassed by police and strike breakers, and the factory was close to where the meeting was being held with the lumber shovers. I don't know what a lumber shover does. Anarchist labor organizer August Spies gave a speech, and shortly thereafter, there was a violent confrontation between striking McCormick workers and strikebreakers. Police opened fire on the crowd and killed two workers. Now you can imagine that that murder did little to ease tensions. The next day, there was a rally at Haymarket Square to protest these murders and demand justice. If you've heard the word Haymarket before, you've probably heard it followed with massacre or martyrs. Or maybe press. So, you know, this didn't go great for them. There were some speeches from anarchist labor organizers. Everything was going fine. The mayor was there, and he said it looked chill and advised the police reservists waiting to come fuck shit up just to go home. And then what happened was a shitload of police showed up just as the rally was dying down and there were only about 200 people left and ordered the crowd to disperse while the crowd had been in the process of Dispersing? Anyway, a homemade bomb was thrown at the police, probably by protesters, but maybe by Pinkerton saboteurs. There were gunshots, no one's quite clear who was shooting who. We do know the police shot at least 40 people, at least 7 cops and 4 workers were killed, and at least 60 cops and God knows how many workers were injured. These injuries may have been from the bomb or the indiscriminate firefight the police erupted in right afterwards. We don't know. So the police were like, okay, I guess we can't have socialists or anarchists anymore, oh well. And they raided a bunch of anarchist meeting halls, unions, and homes, gathering up anyone they could find who had the bad, wrong ideas to arrest and torture. You know, how like in America, it's illegal to say or think the wrong things. So 8 men were arrested for posterity. Their names were Albert Parsons, August Spies, Adolf Fischer, Oscar Niebe, Louis Ling, George Engel, Michael Schwab, and Samuel Fielden. They were sort of given one trial rather than individual trials. I say sort of because it wasn't a real trial. Instead of a random jury of their peers, the jury was selected personally by a special bailiff appointed by the prosecution, who was publicly quoted as saying, "I'm managing this case, and I know what I'm about. These fellows are going to be hanged as certain as death." A fact which the defense was forbidden from entering into evidence. Among the jury were local rich guy business owners who, you know, aren't exactly impartial when it comes to socialist agitation, clerks of those rich guy business owners, and a relative of one of the police officers who died. If this seems conspiratorial, if it seems like these men were put on trial for their beliefs rather than whether or not they had actually been involved in a crime, yeah, pretty much, that's what they did. In his closing argument, state's attorney Julius Grinnell said, out loud,